opportunity once again to worship you and to worship you in this house of prayer. Thank you for keeping these doors open. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony that you are able to make a way out of no way. Thank you, Lord, for this pastor, Reverend Pickens, Lord. Bless him, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Bless his family, Lord. Bless all the ministers assembled here, Lord. Bless everyone that's here. Oh, Lord, from the organists all the way to the choir. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, from the pulpit to the door. Bless us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, again and again, that we may serve you with purpose and love. Lord, if we can't get it together, we know you can. Let us submit ourselves to you, Lord. Let us bow before you. Our knowledge is not the knowledge that you want. It's the knowledge that, not the knowledge that you want. It is your spirit that enhances our knowledge. So, Lord, with your spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Strengthen us right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to know if you feel all right. I want to know if you feel all right. You feel all right? Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. 46th anniversary. Lord, this 46th anniversary is a testament to your steadfastness and your hard work of not only keeping these doors open, but proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I like for us to, first of all, let me personally thank both choirs for blessing us in song, and organist and drummer, and we want to thank you for preparing us, for helping to prepare us for worship. Remember in the Bible where Jehoshaphat, when they sent the choir out first, amen. If you're going to win a victory, you're going to have to praise them first. They sent the choir out first, and then they sent the army out. Amen. So we praise God for that. But in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 1, in verses 4 down to 11, the Word of God says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word and for the proclamation. We look at this scripture and we see a lot of things here. And truly, what we definitely see is that phrase, this same Jesus. And that's something that I like to talk about just for a little bit. This same Jesus. We know the story. We know the story of Luke writing the book of Acts. We know the story that the disciples who found themselves at a point where they did not think that Jesus would ever be seen again after his death were very, very much surprised and pleasantly surprised that the word had gotten out that Jesus had risen from the dead. And Jesus gave them instructions through the women to meet him in Galilee. And they did not proceed to Galilee right away. They had much fear in their lives. They feared that they would be killed. And they feared that they would be no more. But Jesus did not wait for them to go to Galilee, as you know. He had visited them that night and came in. And also that following week, when it was said that Thomas was there this time and Jesus getting inside, the doors being locked, Jesus got inside and he came through the building. Yeah. And the Bible lets us know that it makes this phrase, then came Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You see, and he came for a purpose of encouragement for his disciples to know that the reports that they received by the women were true. And then he came back because Thomas was not there the first time. And they still needed encouragement. And Jesus has a way of coming to us when we don't find ourselves strong enough to go to him. Many of us have stayed home in our days of wildness, if you will, going here and going there, but not finding and making room for the Lord. But one day the Lord came to us.
Yes.
And he spoke to us. Now, where he spoke to us may not really matter. It could have been an incident that happened. It could have been a place where we were all alone. It could have been in a conversation that we had with somebody. It could have been that somebody said something and it triggered our minds, but whatever it was, it made us realize that the Lord did not forget about us, but he came to us and he met us right where we needed to be. Well, the disciples needed the same kind of encouragement, for they had been at challenge with one another. Even though they were doing ministry, they seemed not to really like one another many of the times, even to the point where James and John asked if one could sit on the right hand, his right hand, and the other one on the left, and they sort of snuck around to Jesus to ask this, and when the other disciples found out, they became indignant. They became upset and angry. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to split the group? Are you trying to go your own way? Are you trying to get in on the ground floor? Are you trying to be the number one and number two honcho? Are you trying to be the head in town? Are you trying to do all of this and leave us out? And it was, they were not ready for ministry. They were too much into self, but not ready for ministry. And Jesus took the time, 40 days he spent with them, if you will. 40 days he spent with them. And during that 40 days, there was a time of fishing, a time of Jesus correcting and setting Peter right about feeding his sheep and his lambs. There was the time when they were out on the boat fishing, and Jesus said, "Do you have any fish? Have you caught any?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Throw your nets on the right side." And John noticed that it was the Lord. And Peter jumped in the water and swam to the shore. And Jesus and Peter had a conversation. And all of this coming about to move them forward to a day when they will understand that this ministry was not about their agenda, but this ministry was about the kingdom of God. And so therefore, what took place here was the fact that here they're still in competition. Competition of power. They want some power because they said, when will the kingdom come back? Kingdom is in connection with power. When will you restore the power, the authority to Israel? When will we be over our enemies? When will our enemies bow down to us? And it was not about ministry. It was about power. It was about power for them to relax. And this was not God's plan. Amen. This was not God's idea.
Amen.
God had another mission in mind. And it did not stop with them. It did not stop with them when they thought that Jesus would never come back. It didn't stop with them when Jesus was resurrected. It did not stop with them. But Jesus was saying, you are the rudiments.
Yes.
Of what is to take place for the future. You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria. Samaria, a place where they were not happy to go, but they had a command to go there. And not only there, but to all the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that the church loses its purpose and vision because we want our church to be the kingdom.
Yeah.
And as long as our church is the kingdom, we don't have to do anything about the unsaved. But the Lord says, I am not interested in the big crowds. I'm not interested in the little crowds. I'm interested in the witness that you have been called and commanded to do. The ministry is not about buildings. It's not about houses and land. The ministry is about people, God coming and saving people for his kingdom. And so So here, they may have had a good time. They may have had a good shout, and that's all right. That encourages us. But if that is all to it, then we have lost the purpose and the vision of what God has called us to do.
Hallelujah.
If it's all about a shout, if it's all about a praise, then we have lost the vision, because Peter said to his people, he said to show forth the praises of him. Now there's a difference between just praising him and showing forth the praises. When we show forth the praises, that means that we are showing forth our light in Christ, and we are the salt of the earth. We're showing forth the praises of our giving to God. We're showing forth the praises of God having touched us. We're showing forth the praises, and therefore we must show forth the praises.
Yes.
It's one thing to praise them.
Amen.
It's another thing to show forth the praises.
Yes.
See, because we could do a lot of church work,
yes,
but we have to be about the work of the church.
Yes.
And so here the disciples didn't really take into account that this thing is not about them. It is a bigger agenda than their own idea of what God had in mind. And so here it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, ye have heard of me. And then what happens is that he tells them about the different baptisms. Says John's baptism was okay for the purpose in which God had sent him to baptize. But now you are going to get into some hard and heavy work. You're going to get into some things that you're going to need more than a water baptism. You're going to need a baptism from the Spirit. You're going to need a baptism from on high. You're going to need more than water. You're going to need more than earthly water. You're going to need a water of Jesus. And that baptism will have to take place inside, where there will be fire in your soul. And so here John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Even after Jesus said that, they said, well, when will the kingdom come? In other words, we're not interested in no Holy Ghost. We're interested in the kingdom. And that's a serious, serious piece there, because when we are so serious about what we do in church that we forget about what we're supposed to do outside of the building, we have lost the purpose and understanding of why Jesus came in the first place. See, and so here, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with, even on our jobs, when people don't treat us right, we gotta pray for them. And if the truth be told, we gotta pray for ourselves. As I said this morning, we have to be ready to see the woe in us. If we don't see the woe in us, like Isaiah said, woe is me, then we can't go forward. We have to see the woe in us in order for us to go forward. And so therefore, the disciples needed to see the woe in them. Wait a minute, you've got this thing all wrong. I said to the ministers in the back, and this is nothing new, that if the black church is all we have, then we are in serious trouble. Because what does that mean? That means that we will fail in other areas. Jesus was holistic. Jesus understood the demographics of community. And he could speak on any level to anybody about the kingdom of God. And we have to be that way, where we could speak on as many levels as the Spirit will take us to connect that with the kingdom. That somehow or another, that the rudiments of the black church have to be the foundation, but it can't stop there. Somebody said, if Barack Obama being president is all that it is to it, and we do nothing as a people of color, then we have failed our mission. We have failed our opportunity to really spread a word and to really do something to make a real difference in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods. We have failed. But if we get up and do and work together, then we will be able to accomplish a whole lot. Jesus was getting these disciples ready for more than a Jewish revival. This was going to be worldwide. It would take them to break their prejudices. It would take them to break their pride. It would take them to break all of that. And the only one who could break that would be the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And that's the power that you're going to receive. Don't worry about what the Father is going to do. That's none of your business. But here is your business. Your business is to make sure that this word, that this gospel is preached, that this gospel is lived, that this gospel is talked about, that this gospel is presented to everyone, to your mother, to your father, to your sons, to your daughters, to your neighbors, to everyone that this gospel is presented.
Yes.
And so here, what Jesus was doing was that he was preparing them for a witness. You shall be witnesses.
Thank you, Lord.
Unto me. Uh-huh. Now, how much are we a witness to God on our worst day? On our worst day, if we believe we have come into our worst day, are we still a witness for Jesus? Or can the enemy use us? Can the enemy use our tongue? Can the enemy use our gesticulations? Can the enemy use us in ways that we have to go back and ask God for forgiveness and go to others? Or is it on our worst days that we can still lift up some praise and we can still lift up some thanks? And this is what the Holy Ghost empowers us to do. That even on our most challenging days, there ought to be a thanksgiving in our hearts. There ought to be a glory to God in our hearts. There ought to be a faith that will not lose or falter anything in our hearts. And although we may be afraid of certain things happening, we must still be steadfast and stay on a vision of God. Nobody can make a church grow. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. It's only God that makes the church grow. Uh-huh. No one can do it. And God only makes it grow when we are obedient to Him. When we are obedient, then God says, there is a house that I could send some people to, and they are going to grow because they love me. They appreciate me. They worship me. They talk about me in a positive way. And so when I send them in, these are going to grow also. And so here it is the Spirit that gives us power. It is the Father who draws. And so here we are, right here, at the midst of all of this. The disciples ask, when will the kingdom come? They want to have some freedom. They want to have some easy street. They believe that they worked hard enough and that they've been in slavery long enough. And Jesus spent 40 days with them. And that number 40 is significant. As we keep on hearing in different circles, we keep on hearing about, was in Lincoln Center last night, heard it again. 40 years, and Bobby Kennedy said in 40 years we should have a black president. That was 1968, 2008, 40 years, Barack Obama. Dr. King, 40 years. And how is that 40 continuing to come up? 40 years. Sometimes there's 40 years of blessings. Sometimes there's 40 years of judgment. But whatever it is, when that is lifted, you can feel the power of God rushing into the place. So that 40 days was Jesus talking to them. And here it is, that 40th day. Jesus is giving them their final instructions as he is on earth. That 40th day when Jesus says you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yes.
That 40th day when Jesus says that you shall be witnesses unto me. I'm not going to leave you without a mission. You've got a mission to carry out. You have something. You've been called. God has found you to be worthy of this call. And so therefore, he's called you to do a work. He didn't call of the Holy Spirit. So therefore you are going to be filled not with just words. The water baptism was good, but now I'm leaving you and the Comforter is coming and he's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to see new visions. You're going to dream new dreams. You're going to be in opposition, but don't worry about it because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, on this 40th day, we find that it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud. The cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee,
yes,
why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. See, the Lord didn't leave them without an answer. He told them that you will receive power. And right there, they receive mental power. Right there, because he was talking to their minds, their hearts, and their souls. Don't worry about it. But don't just stand here gazing.
Yes.
Don't just stand here looking and just looking. You've got some work to do. You've got some work to do. You can't always be asking for God to bless you. You've got to be blessing the Lord. Yes. David said, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Church is not about how much God could bless us. Church is about how much we can bless God, him blessing us so that we can bless him. All the blessings come from God, and when we allow for God to use us, then those blessings go back up because it comes into praise. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit, when we are praying, the Holy Spirit is transform us any time and any day, and he brings us up to another level. So here he is. He says this. They say this same Jesus, the same Jesus that talked to you and that called you from your fishing boats, the same Jesus that called you from your tax collecting days, the same Jesus that called you when you didn't know which way to turn, the same Jesus who called you when you couldn't find your way, but he directed you. Oh, this same Jesus. I'm so glad for this same Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This same Jesus, when you were going through hard times, this same Jesus who stood by your side, put his hands around your shoulders, let you know that everything is going to be all right. This same Jesus, hallelujah. I'm so glad for this same Jesus. I'm so glad that he's not double-minded, but he's the same Jesus. He's the same Savior. This same Jesus who was in the beginning. This same Jesus who met Joshua. This same Jesus who met Daniel. This same Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This same Jesus. The word went out. Who will go for us? Whom shall we send? All this same Jesus who is the word. In the beginning was God. I'm so This same Jesus who fed the 5,000. This same Jesus, yes, who said that he's the water and that he's the bread of life. This same Jesus who is the I am. This same Jesus who is the true vine. I'm connected to him. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Are you connected to Jesus? I'm so glad that it is this same Jesus that helped us through years past. Well, when our foreparents were being taken advantage of, Jesus stepped in. Then came Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad that there's a then came Jesus. I'm so glad that when the Lord comes back, every eye shall see him. Oh, aren't you glad about it? I'm glad about it. The reason why is because this same Jesus who not only touched us this morning, but this same Jesus will run with us all the way. This same Jesus who put clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet. This same Jesus. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. This same Jesus that I believe our President Barack Obama called on, showed a miracle. You see, you can't stop Jesus. No matter how things are fixed up. Yes, I'm so glad. Yes, that the voting booth could not be tampered with enough to stop Jesus. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Uh-huh. This same Jesus who walked you into a place, sat you down, somebody interviewed you, and somebody said you're hired. This same Jesus who puts a check in your hand. Oh, I'm so glad about it. This same Jesus who could bless you to retire and have some money set aside. This same Jesus. Oh, you don't know how to praise this same Jesus. Somebody, I know I have a witness. Oh, you may be tired, but you can't be nowhere tired to give God some thanks. I'm so glad for this same Jesus. When you wake up tomorrow morning, that same Jesus will be there. When you wake up next week, that same Jesus will be there. I know folk who have been given up on, hallelujah, but this same Jesus went into the hospital and started saving. Oh, I know some people want same Jesus went into the jailhouse and started saving prisoners. Uh-huh. This same Jesus. You remember Paul and Silas at the midnight hour? They should have been asleep. They were beaten. They were tired. But they got up. Oh, yes, they did. They got up because they remembered this same Jesus. And they started singing and praising. Start singing him. He start getting crazy in his own praise. I'm not talking about crazy like a man or a woman. I'm talking about Holy Ghost praise. Oh, he gets a craze and he says, listen, I need to set them free. I need for that jailer to be saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you and I was once like that jailer? And God says, I need for that person to be my life. I've been transformed by this same Jesus. I've been reconciliated by this same Jesus. I've been justified by this same Jesus. I've been sanctified by this same Jesus. I've been empowered by this same Jesus with wisdom and knowledge and worship and praise and thanksgiving. To be done.